The first thing that strikes me about having a Justice Sunday is, are the rest of them non-justice Sundays, injustice Sundays? Is justice, like so many people think of religion, as something that you do on your Sabbath? I'm religious on Sundays, or I'm religious on Saturdays, or I'm religious on Fridays, and the rest of the days I can just be myself. Justice is not for this day alone, not for this season alone. Justice is for everyone all of the time. It is our aspiration to make it a part of our lives, a part of our hearts, a part of our hands. A theology of justice. I actually have, strangely enough, for a Unitarian, a theology of justice, and I take it seriously, but not at all literally. It is, in a sense, poetic and metaphoric, as I think every theology at heart is. And that is, there is a creation story of from Isaac Luria, a medieval mystic from the Jewish tradition, who said that all of the universe was nothing but pure light. And God's pure essence was at the center of that universe. But around the edges, it kind of congealed into material existence. Now, I don't want to get into spirit and material as something literal, but as a metaphor. And God became aware of this degradation of the light at the edge of creation, and that light had formed into material jars, into vessels. And the myth goes that God wanted to redeem those vessels and sent out some of God's own pure light. But the vessels couldn't handle it. They shattered into a billion shards, which are the stars and the planets and the atoms and the molecules and ourselves. All of our creation, broken but with sparks of the divine within. I think it's a lovely metaphor, because it becomes our job not simply to know that the sparks are there, but to see them in each other, to see them in ourselves, and not wait to be saved by God, but to put God back together by seeing and exalting and blowing upon the embers of those sparks and fanning them into a flame and bringing those sparks together, those broken shards together, into something beautiful. Not necessarily holy, but something whole. And so we redeem the world through seeing the divinity and by doing justice. I can't believe that it has been 40 years since the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. As I've shared before, I remember the moment of learning about it so clearly when I was living in North Africa. And I remember stammering, not simply because my French was not that great, but stammering an explanation to my students of the violence in America and the racism in America, because they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand why America, this blessed country, this wealthy country, could be at war with its own citizens. We have come a long way in 40 years. A very long way. We still have racism, we know that. We still debate race, but we have a black man who is a serious candidate for president, and that wouldn't have even been considered seriously 40 years ago. It is a legal right today that all of America understands and accepts. Whether it is a political reality, we do not yet know. Because though we have come a long way, there is still so terrible long to go until we really see fully the humanity in each other and are nourished by our diversity instead of threatened by our diversity of ethnicity, of religion, of color, yes, and of preaching styles that white ears do not seem to be able to hear. And when it gets loud, they shut down and we get scared. There are a lot of things that keep us apart that are surface things. We don't agree on the role of religion in government and in public discourse. We don't agree on the use of the Bible in Scripture. But when you hear Dr. King's words and you look at Dr. King's life, you understand how strong the influence of those words and those dreams and those hopes were in animating his heart and his courage and his soul. He loved to quote scriptures. He loved particularly to quote the prophet Amos and to talk about letting justice roll down like water, where an awful lot of justice was damned. I'm not using that word in that sense. Was dammed up, and those waters did not flow to the hungry and the poor and those who thirsted for justice and righteousness. He loved to talk about the famous line from Micah, the prophet, to do justice. And as I shared a couple of weeks ago, the words for justice in both Hebrew and Arabic connote wisdom. Not doing justice is unwise. It doesn't serve our long-term interests. Justice, for too long, people joked, and the joke, as all good jokes have in common, was based on a truth. Justice, to much of America, seemed to be just us. It's good for just us. The people with, as Muhammad Ali said, with the connection and the complexion to get just us the tax breaks, just us the food, just us the education, just us the access to the just us system. People joked also about the golden rule, meaning that those who have the gold make the rules, and that was true, and it is still true in many, too many cases where there is unequal justice based on what you have as opposed to who you are. Now, this is not going to be a rant and a screed against this nation. It is the human condition. No party or people in power ever easily gives up their benefits. They fight them. I seem to remember, and I'm a little hesitant to talk about this today, quite frankly, but we fought a war against the English. It obviously it was necessary that we kill each other, because if not, we might be forced to speak English in this country. What did we do that about again? Lower taxes. I never understood Jefferson to be a Republican. Every privileged class has fought against giving away its power. That's part of the human condition. It's not anything uniquely American, but America fought giving away, white America fought against getting rid of slavery, and fought for years against black empowerment, human empowerment of black people. We fought against giving the vote to women. We fought against the union movement and said it was communist. We fought against Social Security and said it was communist. We fight against universal health care, with many people saying, well, if not communist, it's far left socialist, because every capitalist has the right to a health care event that will bankrupt them, because that's obviously the American way. We don't give up our Percocets very easily as human beings. And as a nation, on Justice Sunday, when I look at how far we have come and how far we have to go, it is impressive both how far we have come and how far we still have to go. Anne talked about what's going on in Iraq and in the world. And America has often been good-hearted and incredibly inept. I think most Americans want to do the right thing, but we did things that just don't seem, in the words of Dr. Phil, when you ask the question, so how's this working out for you? So we go and we change regimes in Iran and put in the Shah, which begets Khomeini. And we depose a variety of people in Vietnam, which does not really seem to serve our interests, except, and this is not a joke, that we got an awful lot of very good and smart and accomplished Vietnamese coming to this country who would not have come, but our deposing of various dictators and our imposing of others does not seem to have served our national interests. We have replaced governments all over the world with governments that we like less after a while. We armed Saddam before we deposed Saddam. We armed the jihadis before we decided we had to fight the jihadis. It is not that we are evil. I am not saying that at all. I am saying that we often just don't know what we're doing because we forget what the real rules of justice are, of decency, of interrelationship, and of humility. With great power comes great responsibility. And too often we have reacted with a sense of hubris, of superiority, and a sense of arrogance instead of humility, instead of being conciliatory, instead of reaching out for help to create a consensus of how to act and be and share in the world. One of the things that is so important and impressive about the whole idea of justice is that it is not about belief, it is about action, it is about what it is that we do. And it proceeds from a view of reality. There are not seven seas. There is only one sea. There are not separate atmospheres all over the world. The gentle rain that falls on one eventually falls on all. The dioxins, the poisons, the pharmaceuticals in the water, the pollution in the air, whatever comes to our genetically engineered crops, the food and the famine are all part of the human condition. There is, as yet, no place to go to escape the human condition. When it used to be that when America sneezed, the rest of the world got a cold. But now Ebola can get on a plane in Africa and fly here. Any particular disease, any particular political disease can be spread around the world in the speed of the internet. We are in an interrelated system where there is no separate justice. There's no just us form of justice. What does religion have to do with that? Religion has to do with action. When we look at the great religious stories, we're about to have Passover, and those Hebrews in Egypt in slavery, they believed in God, but they got up and got out of Egypt and didn't wait to get rescued. Those early followers of Jesus thought he was coming right back to fix this broken world, but they didn't sit still and wait for that to happen. They got up, got out, and spread their good news as best they could. The pilgrim ancestors of many modern Unitarians believed in God and believed in salvation, but they didn't wait for rescue from the sky. They got on a miserable, rickety little ship and at great peril and at great cost crossed an ocean and came to a cold and often dead land where over half of them died in the first 2 years. All of them put their faith into action. They understood, as our readings have talked about, that religion is not simply what you sing, not simply what you say, not how great and complex your theology is. Religion is doing justice, knowing that justice is our job to do, not on Sunday, but every day, not just sometime, but all of the time. Not just in the future, but justice is what we do now to the least of us, and not simply to the people who look the most like us. Justice is a way of being in the world, and it precedes and reinforces the reality that there is no separate justice. You cannot have one kind for one race, for one nation, for one people. You cannot have one kind of justice, because we know what justice is. I mean, we can get sidetracked into the head trips of cultural relativism and different people with different religions and different systems, but most of us know when we do something whether we would like the rest of the world to know that we're doing it or not. And if you're looking over your shoulder, the chances are that you're not doing justice. If you're going, gosh, I hope somebody's watching, it's not a character flaw. The chances are you're doing something that you're proud of. Justice works better than injustice. Think of all of the racist bigots in the South who wanted to keep black people down, who wanted to keep them as poor as possible, who wanted to keep them out of their own shops and restaurants. That was a lose-lose proposition. Instead of customers, they created enemies. It doesn't work. Injustice creates an adversary. Injustice creates a pain. Injustice creates a call for revenge. And justice is healing. 40 years since the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King died. Well, I'd rather say it's 40 years since he lived on this earth in body, because he still lives on this earth in spirit. He still lives on this earth in hope. He still lives on this earth in the words of inspiration and comfort that he shared with people of all races. And he still lives on earth not simply on the issues of racial justice, but of social and economic justice. Justice is not one simple thing. It is not simply an issue of our court system. It is not simply a question of what is legal or illegal. That's part of it. But there's also social justice. There's also economic justice. And all of those are created when we tear down the walls that separate us. We tear down the false distinctions that keep human beings apart from each other. And we undam those waters of justice and let them roll down in a mighty river to feed a parched desert, to create green new hope of a springtime for all humanity. We serve justice with our hands, with our lives, with whatever scriptures or poems we find inspiration in order to be able to see deeply the humanity, the common humanity that calls for common justice for all of our sisters and brothers.